Let us go to Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119, we're going to pick up in verse number 49. Psalm 119, verse 49. Each of these stanzas in the Hebrew language, they would, each verse would start with that same letter. It would be alliterated all the way through. It doesn't carry like that in English, obviously, but it does do something for us for sure. Here in Psalm 119, verse 49, he says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror had taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." We're going to look tonight at comfort in times of trouble. Comfort in times of trouble. Let's have prayer. Father, I thank you for the song that we just heard, how it blessed our hearts. Thank you for the songs that we could sing. I know that most of them have come to us at great price. Some have come to us because someone else has had a time of trouble. And I pray that we would understand what your comfort is like and lean upon you with all of our weight. I ask for your Holy Spirit's filling to preach what you have for this evening. In Jesus' name, and amen. In Job 14, we find the words of Job. He says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Of course, he was in the midst of trouble himself, wasn't he? It was hard for him. In Psalm chapter 60, verse 11, he says, "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." And I think that's repeated at least two more times throughout the book of Psalms. "Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man." Now, we've all had somebody help us at one time or another, I'd like to think. And we'd all say, "Hey, that person was a real help to me." So we're not talking about that kind of help. We're talking about things that only God can do and that can help us with. But it is good to be helpful to one another. But when it comes to trouble, I think we'd all agree, most of the time trouble is self-inflicted. Would we kind of say that that happens sometimes? I inflict it upon myself. I was reading about a farmer. And after working his farm every day, this elderly farmer rarely had time to enjoy the large pond in the back that he had fixed up years earlier, had picnic tables, horseshoe courts, benches back there. So one evening, he decided to go down and see how things were holding up, and much to his surprise, he heard voices shouting and laughing with glee. As he came closer, he saw that there was a group of young women swimming in his pond. As he walked up to the pond, they all went to the deep end. One of the women shouted to him, "We're not coming out until you leave." The old farmer replied, "I didn't come down here to watch you young ladies swim or make you get out of the pond. I only came down to feed the alligator." You know, so sometimes trouble is of our own making. Or what about the photographer? He was working for a national magazine and he was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. And smoke at the scene hampered him, and so he called his home office and asked if they could hire him a plane. He could get up above the smoke. Arrangements were made, and he was told at once to go to a nearby small airport where the plane would be waiting. When he arrived at the airport, there was a plane warming up near the runway, so he did what every good photographer does. He goes in, he jumps in with his equipment, and we yell, "Let's go, let's go!" And the pilot swung the plane into the wind, and soon they were in the air. "Fly over the north side of the fire," he yelled to the photographer, "and make three or four low passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm going to take pictures," cried the photographer. "I'm a photographer, and photographers take pictures." After a pause, the pilot said, "You mean you're not the instructor?" You know you're in trouble when, right? Somebody once said, you get stuck behind a group of Hell's Angels and your horn gets stuck, right? You know that's bad. Yeah, I remember that. I remember the one, there used to be a comic when I was growing up. It's called Family Circus. How many of you, when you went through a tunnel, when you were a kid, you always want dad to honk the horn?
I still do.
You still do? Okay. Making three or four passes through the one over going into down the back road there. It was Family Circus, and it was little Billy who was always getting in trouble. No offense to you, Brother Bill. He wasn't like you at all. But little Billy was always piping up, and they were behind a whole bunch of motorcycle biker guys, and they're coming through a tunnel, and Billy's like, honk the horn, Dad, honk the horn. The kids are like cheering him on. You know? Dad says, this is not the time for that. Not the time for that kind of trouble. But sometimes we would say, you know, trouble follows us, and trouble can be self-inflicted. But we know, let's use the life of Job, for instance. That wasn't his fault. Trouble comes in different shapes and sizes, but does it come to everyone? Sure it does. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. David ran from King Saul for about 13 years. King David's son tried to overthrow his father's throne. Daniel, as a senior, experienced a ban on prayer that led to a lion's den. The list goes on and on and on. Trouble comes. But our God, he's not taking us out of the trouble. If I can use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're going through the fiery furnace. It's a very great example there. The first thing we see in verses 49 and 50 is personal troubles. You say, what trouble isn't personal? You know, but it is. Personal troubles come, and one of our tendencies is to look for blame rather than to the Lord. Now, this is also a cultural thing for us. It's a Canadian thing to blame someone. Okay? I know we're coming up on Canada Day, so I can pick on us, but don't anybody else ever pick on us, right? That's the Canadian way as well. But it is a Canadian thing to be able to look for blame, and who are we going to blame for this? But that's not the biblical way. That's not the way that God wants me to deal with things in my life and look for someone to blame. He wants me to look unto him. I think of the Israelites as they enter into the wilderness. I sometimes wonder, you know, how they got there. Because they arrived there with almost no food. I thought, my wife would have never allowed me to do that. She would have been meal planning. Now, when we left, we wouldn't have known we'd been there for 40 years, but at least it's going to take us at least a week and a half or two to get there, so she would have had all those meals already planned out. They end up in the wilderness, and they don't know how they're going to feed some 2 million-plus people. They're in trouble. But what did God do? He intervened for them. I would say not having food is kind of like personal trouble. God was there for them. But personal trouble, if we look in verse 49, it says, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So personal troubles causes one to remember the personal word of God. Remember the word unto thy servant. It causes one to remember the personal word of God. Those scriptures that are personal to you, they come back to your remembrance. Sometimes it's as simple as remembering your salvation and the details. And other times, the Holy Spirit brings that verse in. And you're like, where did that come from? And sometimes there you are reading in the scripture and he brings you a verse off the page and you say, I have never seen that verse before. The pastor's never preached on this verse before. It's got to be brand new in the Bible. But it's brand new for you. You grab it. You hug it, you read it, you memorize it, you love it to death because it helps you, it's your comfort. Causes one to have hope there. He says at the end of verse 49, thou hast caused me to hope. Now, personal troubles can be very discouraging. I think that kind of goes without saying, but we need to say it. They really are. Psalm 42:5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So the psalmist said, here I am all cast down. It's all disquieted. It's a rumbling inside of me. hope thou in God. Romans 5:5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. So that Holy Ghost in Romans 5:5 is the one who gives this to us, causes one to have hope. These personal troubles cause one now in verse 50 to rely upon God's word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. As if we put all of our weight upon the Lord. You ever needed somebody to help you and they put their arm around you and you were limping and you didn't want to put all your weight on them, did you? Because you felt, oh, I'm going to be too much for you to carry. And there they are struggling away to carry you and you're limping along. But you never have to worry about that with the Lord. You can put all your weight on Him. His word quickens, He says there, or it revives us. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So we have comfort of the Scriptures, and this brings us hope. So what we have to do is we have to look at our personal troubles when we're not in trouble. Does that make sense? So you ask yourself this question. Don't ask yourself this question when you're in trouble. You ask it before you get into trouble. Has God ever failed you? Never. But when you're in trouble sometimes, you may feel like it. All of a sudden, your feelings that you're able to keep under control, all of a sudden, they're going haywire. Is that I think that's a Greek word. They're out of order. They're going all over the place. And you're like, why do I feel like this? But remember, in the good times, you said that God had never failed. Have people ever failed you? Sure they have. And we're not here to pick them apart tonight, but you've had some good people in your life. Admit it. Not everybody has kicked you when you're down. But they can't solve everything in your heart, whereas God can. Who helped Peter when he walked on the water and began to sink? The other disciples? I imagine the time he was climbing out of that boat, Andrew, his brother, said, Peter, you're nuts. Because that's what brothers say to each other, right? You're crazy. Get back in the boat. Help us bail this water out. We're in a storm. Peter said, excuse me. I'm walking out of here. We know that the other disciples didn't help him as he began to sink. It was only Christ. So we have to stop and think, in the good times, what scriptures has God used in my times of troubles? And you go back and you look at that. Because one person reads a verse and it's like, well, that doesn't really help me. And the next person reads the same verse and they go, that is the key I needed. So there's no one verse you can take and throw at everything. You've got to have those scriptures that apply to you, and the Holy Spirit has taken and applied them to your heart. That's what's going to help you. And you start in the good times so that when the troubles come, you're ready. It's going to take me through. So we know that there's comfort in times of trouble. And there are personal troubles. There are also, in verses 51 and 52, there are pressures that bring trouble. You say, you're not kidding. Sometimes there are pressures. And you say, where did this pressure come from? Why am I under this cloud? 51, the proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. So pressures bring trouble. We find here it's produced by proud people. The proud have had me greatly in derision. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Let's look at a couple Proverbs. In our Sunday school class with the teens this morning, we were in the book of Proverbs, and man, you can spend a lot of time there. It's good. So the Proverbs are good. But we find that pressures that bring trouble, they're often produced by proud people. Proverbs 11, verse 2. Makes it clear to us. He says, when pride cometh, then cometh what? Shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So we find that when there's pride involved, there's shame that's going to come. Look in chapter 13, verse 10. This is a good verse. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. Whoa. But with a well-advised is wisdom. Then if you go a little further, chapter 16 and verse 18. And this is often misquoted. Pride goeth before what? Destruction, not a fall. Because you can get up from a fall. The book of Proverbs tells us. Now, he goes on to say at the latter half of this pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So they are tied together there. He makes the comparison there. But he's showing us destruction comes. And 1 John 2:16 tells us, for all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Then you look in Proverbs 16 here, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is a what? An abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. So this pride, he's not talking about an outward pride. He's talking about, I've got pride in my heart where you can't even see it. Are people good at hiding things? Well, we think we are, okay? But people can be pretty good at hiding things in their heart. And you say, I didn't know that they were like that. And I can bury that pride very deep in my heart. But it tells me that that's an abomination to my Father, to the Lord. And so pressures that bring trouble, and it can be produced by proud people. He mentions this here, the proud have had me greatly in derision. So it's produced by proud people, and it produces a great derision. This is the concept of being mocked or scorned. We can become emotionally hurt and confused. The proud had me in derision. I was being scorned by this whole thing. This whole thing had me confused. This pressures. This world wants to scorn us and mock us so that we will be like them. You step away from the world and you do that which is godly and opposed to this world, and there are times that you'll be scorned and mocked. You'll be had in derision. So we need to be preparing in the good times that scorning and mocking, that derision can come. So that when that pressure is forced upon me, I'm just like a popsicle on a July day melting in the sun. No, we're going to have the character and the conviction to be able to say, yes, there's pressures there, but I understand where it's coming. It can come from that which is proud. It can come against me in scorning and mocking, but it's resolved by remembering God's judgments and taking comfort there in verse 52. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. He didn't say, I remembered thy love. He didn't say, I remembered thy mercy. I remembered your compassion. He said, I remembered your judgments of old. Now, for the Israelite people, what were some of the judgments that they went through as they came through the wilderness? You remember some of those? They were murmuring and complaining one day, and God sent a bunch of snakes. Now, we talked about the murmurings and disputings this morning. I didn't see any snakes around, so I was very happy. And remember, then, because as it was biting people and they were dying, and God told Moses then to put up a brass serpent, Psalmist says, I remember thy judgments of old. When people complained, there were people that died. Now, if that were today, I don't know how many of us would be left alive sometimes, okay? Because we've all been there. But isn't God been merciful to us? But we have to remember his judgments of old. When, of all things, Moses was a leader, and his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron came and attacked him, said it was because of the Midianite-ish woman that he had married, and God gave Miriam what? Leprosy. He said, I remember thy judgments of old. Wow. And the world doesn't get it. Not until you get saved do you understand God's judgment, really. Not till you come to that point where you realize that your judgment that you deserve is hell forever. When you come to that point of salvation, does it begin to click? You see God's judgments of old. Now, God took care of them in the wilderness too. His mercy, his compassion, everything was there. Lord, we don't have any water. get some water out of a rock. But there are lots of people in the Old Testament there. Achan, when they took the city of Jericho, and he took a few things. It wasn't much, but that wasn't the point. Everything, all the spoil from that city was dedicated to God. And he paid and his family paid. Death. I remember thy judgments of old. So as the world is putting the pressure on me, instead of me buckling into the pressures and the turmoil of this world, oh Lord, I remember thy judgments. And your judgments are a whole lot greater than the pressures of this world, than what I'm going to face from there. But my family's putting the pressure on. They don't like what I believe. I got coworkers and they think, what, you go to church again on Sunday night? Yes. What, you're going to Bible study? Middle of the week? Yes. The pressures come. Yes, they do. But I remember thy judgments. They're far greater than the pressures of this world. Far, far greater. So there are pressures that bring trouble. God's eternal judgments, they are of old. And then he says, there is the ability to comfort myself. That's what he says. End of verse 52, he says, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. When he looked at those judgments, he took comfort. You said, but those weren't really wonderful things. But he understood the holiness of a righteous God. Without judgment, he wouldn't be righteous. He wouldn't be holy. He took comfort in God's judgments. God doesn't let us get away with things. Oh, it looks like it sometimes. And even the psalmist said in some of the psalms, you know, why is the heathen rage? You know, why does it look like there are no bands in their death? But there is. He said, I remember thy judgments and I comforted myself because of who you are, O God. See, pressures. There are personal troubles. There are pressures that bring trouble. We find in verses 53 through 56 now, there are positions that cause trouble. 53, he says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. He uses the word horrors here, and he talks about the wicked. We find here that wicked people can be terrible. Now, the word horror has the concept of being terrible. This is what this is. Terrible. There are wicked people who can cause terrible thoughts and circumstance upon us. The horror or the terrible takes hold of us. And we've all done it. Hopefully we're not practicing it in our lives now. But we've all allowed that imagination to roll and we say, what if? And we imagine all the terrible things that could happen. No Christian should be living there. We may have to consider things. But he tells us, he says, horror had taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. He saw the terrible. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he, what? Meditate day and night. So what's the solution? He said, the psalmist saw this all wicked all around him. He said, there were people who were walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They were standing in the way of sinners. They were sitting in the seat of the scornful. So their whole life is consumed by that which is wicked. He said, the horror had taken hold upon me. He said, I can see all this. But then what did he do? He went in back into God's word and he became, that became his meditation. I've mentioned this before. We're bombarded by both news media and social media. And most of it is terrible. Now, it doesn't mean we stick our head in the sand. We don't know what's going on. But we don't meditate on those things. I would advise you, if I could give you a piece of advice, is not to look at news media and watch news media before you go to bed at night. That's not what you need at the last thing at night. I was encouraging our young people in our Bible class this morning to read a proverb a day. It's 31 chapters. Today is chapter 25. It's a whole lot better than, and it's not that we're ignoring what's happening in the world, just the things that are happening in the world are not my priority. Number one priority. God's word is, the world and its news comes in down the ladder somewhere. Even the news of this world, it's not more important than my marriage. It's not more important than my children or your grandchildren. So you see where does the world's news media come in? Don't make it think, no, it's like it used to be, maybe it still is for some people, but I remember growing up when a telephone would ring, because we only had landlines, sometimes with party line. And the phone would ring. What did people do? You're sitting there in your house, and the phone's always way far away. What happened when the phone would ring? We've got to get there before they hang up. And one time, I was in school. We had chapel in our school, and we were singing O Canada. And the phone rang, and somebody went out to answer the phone. And a few days later, our pastor mentioned that. He says, you know, he says, we're singing O Canada, and the phone rings. We're going to let the phone ring. He said, that was a priority of what we were doing. Now, probably the person on the other end of the phone was important. But you have to think about what it is that you're doing. And then, of course, he went on to apply, what about when we're having our devotions and distractions want to come? Go back to it later. Stick with God. There are things that we just have to let go. Why? Because they're priorities. Because there are pressures. And there are positions. Positions, wicked people can be terrible. But Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. So as these horrors come upon, he says, because of the wicked that forsake thy law, God is angry with them. But aren't you glad that he is happy with you when you spend time with him? Yes, he is angry with the wicked, and that sin will never be tolerated by him. But we have a relationship with him. So wicked people can be terrible. We notice in verse 53 that this comes about because there are wicked people that have forsaken God's word. The wicked have forsaken thy law. That God's word, when it's forsaken, that means it's totally left out. And I cannot leave God's word out of my life. It cannot happen. It's a focal point. Then we notice here, thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. But I have songs as I'm passing through this world of trouble. Pilgrimage is that I'm just passing through. I'm a stranger in this world. That's what that refers to here. Is I'm just passing through. This is a pilgrimage for me. Somebody once said, don't drive your tent pegs in too deep. We could be leaving in the morning as soon as the Lord returns. We're just passing through. And that's what he says. I have songs as I'm passing through this world of trouble. And I have the Lord's name in verse 55. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night and have kept thy law. He said, I remembered it when? In the night. When do the horrors come usually? When the sun is shining like today, in the middle of the day? No, this is great. It's something about it. When you close your eyes and all is dark, all of a sudden things can come creeping into your mind. Right? The other night, we're up on the mountain, about 2 a.m. I'm outside looking at the night sky. I don't remember the last time I saw that many stars. There was no horror in that night sky at all. It looked like nothing but the handiwork of our Creator. It was beautiful. So the same night, the same darkness can create a horror and bring terrible things. Or I can use that very same night and look up and see the handiwork of my Father and go, wow. I have to be able to be prepared for these things. He says, and I have the Lord's name in the night. When the troubles come to my mind, it's his name. Who is he? What's in a name? I still remember when our first child was born and we had... Back then we had books. We didn't go on the internet to look at names. You had books and you looked up names and what do they mean and you looked at all these things. It was very helpful. Because when I later began to think about the names of God and who he is, I began to realize that names have meaning. You know, you can get into a rut, okay, when you pray, and in Jesus' name, and we just tack it on the end, and I'm not really thinking, wait a minute, I just talked to the Father, and I'm coming to him in the authority of the Savior. So I have his name in the night times. In verse 56, and this I had because I kept thy precepts. Yes, troubles come. Sometimes it is the personal things that cause me trouble. Maybe you feel like you're swimming and the pond is full of alligators. Troubles come. And sometimes it's pressures and people. You say, well, I didn't cause this. You're absolutely right. You didn't. And I think that that's a wise thing to do, is step back and look see where our troubles come from. Because a lot of times, oh Christian, you're not causing the troubles. Job didn't cause his. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. He didn't cause his trouble. I mean, maybe things weren't always good at home, but that was no reason to sell their brother into slavery and fake his death. Troubles come. Pressures and people. And other times, because of positions or circumstances. But I want to remind you that your God will not abandon you ever. Might be in the nighttime and the horrors come. Might be in circumstances and the trials come. He's with you. How goes your troubles? They come. Don't feel like you're being picked on. We all get them. But on the other hand, instead of me feeling like I'm being picked on, I need to be able to look and say, but my Savior is with me through this. I don't know. Sometimes I look at it and I say, I don't know how this is going to turn out. That is your Heavenly Father saying thanks. You're not supposed to try and always figure it all out. Because some of us want to figure out everything, don't we? No, don't put up your hand. You know what I mean. I've got to figure out how God's going to fix this. I prayed, and now I know God's going to do it like this and like this and like... A lot of times, he's going to show you something you've never seen. He's going to take you through. He's going to be there in your troubles. Let us have prayer. Oh, Father, thank you that you're there for us. Thank you that your word, and I know we haven't gone into... a huge amount of specific scriptures, but your word is there for us in our times of trouble. We've seen tonight that we can encourage ourselves. You can work in our lives, and I pray you would continue. That we would not, in our troubles, abandon you, abandon your word, abandon your church, abandon fellowship with each other. But that, Father, our troubles, our trials would cause us to draw closer to you. And we don't enjoy them. I don't think anyone would say, well, I'm sure glad I went through that. That's another level. But we're sure thankful you're there with us. And I pray you would help each one. And Father, tonight we're not here to pick apart each other's troubles and try to examine them. But Lord, you know every heart. You know the children that are here, and you know the troubles that they have. We have young people that are here, and you know the troubles that they go through. And we have men, Lord, and they have troubles. And we have ladies, and they have troubles that come into their lives. We have some seniors here, Lord, they might say, there are some troubles, and I never thought this was ever going to come into my life, but here I am. Oh, Father, would you help each one? And would you help us tonight to give our troubles unto you, casting all our care upon you, because you care for us. Oh, Lord, would you help us? For I ask this in Jesus' name, and amen.